Would you pray with me? Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word kept alive for us, not just by those who have handed it down through the ages, but by the very power of your Spirit. And we pray now that that same Spirit would make those words come alive for us, challenge us, and comfort us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I meant to say, and I do need to say, that there is a color copy version of the bulletin cover picture on the deacon's board in Pilot Hall. It's a beautiful picture in color, but so you may take a look at it when you go in there. Now, if you have not been or spent any time in Kentucky, you would probably not quite understand that yesterday was probably the biggest day in the state for the year. Yesterday was the 139th, I believe it was, running of the Kentucky Derby. And although it was a rainy, sloppy race. But I thought in honor of the Kentucky Derby, I would share the following story with you. Two Kentucky farmers who owned racing stables had developed a keen rivalry. And one spring, each of them entered a horse in the local steeplechase, thinking that a professional rider might help him outdo his friend. One of the farmers engaged a crack jockey. Now, the two horses were leading the race at the last fence, but it proved too tough for them. Both horses fell, unseating their riders. But this calamity did not stop the professional jockey. He immediately got up, remounted, and took off and won the race. Returning triumphant to the paddock, big grin on his face, the jockey found the farmer who hired him fuming with rage. "What's the matter?" asked the jockey. "I won the race, didn't I?" "Oh, yes," roared the farmer. "You won all right, but you still don't know, do you?" "Know what?" asked the jockey. "You won the race on the wrong horse." In confusion, the jockey had mounted the wrong horse. And I think in some ways, that story illustrates what I want to talk about today. In the sense of what horse are we riding in our daily lives. The vision of John the Evangelist in Revelation talks about a city. A city where there is no temple, a city where the gates are open all the time, probably a city where there's no locks on the doors. There is no need, because God is always reflected in the lives and the words of the people. I read that, and I remembered a long time ago, back I think in the early days of my ministry in the 80s, I was talking with a minister one time, and he said, "You know, we ministers are in the business of trying to put ourselves out of business." I said, "Huh?" Well, he said, "Think about it. If people would lead holy and peaceful lives, there'd be no need for ministers. The people would reflect the glory and the blessing of God." And that's the picture that we have in Revelation. Jesus makes it clear too when he says, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." Make our home with them. Home is synonymous with peace for most people. Reverend Sarah Brewer, who writes in the blog, Dylan's blog, wrote concerning this. He is expressing that dynamic of God's abundance. Not "those who love me ought to keep my word," or "I'll be really cross and you'll be even worse if you don't keep my word." But it's a declarative statement of how it is to live with Christ. When we love Jesus, we keep his word. course, the Holy Spirit allows us to do that. And it's worth underscoring that this word, especially in John, is to love one another. So when we keep Christ's word, I guess to go back to my story, when we stay on the right horse, we reflect God. We reflect the faith of the Son. And this is where the peace of God starts. The peace of Christ. Not with us, but in the one that we reflect. Lutheran pastor, the Reverend Jane Hunt, in a sermon on our John passage, said, "Maybe this peace is not something which begins in me, or you and me. No, Jesus would say, this peace begins in God's heart, and is always simply received as a simple gift, a gift from God's own hand. It's ours to receive, to cultivate, to share, but it's not ours to create. When we reflect the face of God, when we reflect the life of Christ, we receive that peace. I would say it's the Holy Spirit. And it begins with the Holy Spirit calling us to reflect on God in our lives. To let the grace and peace of God permeate through our lives so that we become a vessel of the Spirit. Then we would not worry if we're good enough. Then we would not worry if others are good enough. We would just live what Christ would want us to live. There's a wonderful story of this happening many years ago, and this is a true story, I believe. A story of how peace and goodness begets peace and goodness. One stormy night, an elderly couple entered the lobby of a small hotel and asked for a room. The clerk said that their hotel was filled up, as were all the hotels in town. He said, "But I can't send a fine couple like you out into the rain. Would you be willing to sleep in my room?" The couple hesitated, but the clerk insisted. The next morning, when the man paid his bill, he said, "You're the kind of man who should be managing the best hotel in the land. Someday I'll build you one." And the clerk just smiled. A few years later, the clerk received a letter from the elderly couple, recalling that stormy night and asking him to come to New York. A round-trip ticket was enclosed. When the clerk arrived, his host took him to the corner of Fifth Avenue and 34th Street, where stood a magnificent new building. "That," explained the man, "is the hotel that I have built for you. I built it for you to manage." The man, the elderly man, William Waldorf Astor. And the hotel was the original Waldorf Astoria. And the young clerk, George C. Bolt, became its first manager. Lydia said, "If I have found favor in you, come and stay in my house." The Spirit calls us to reach out with grace and peace to others so that we might experience grace and peace. The Spirit carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. May our lives show the glory of God and all of its abundant and radiant beauty and peace. Amen.